Before we get into today's episode, I have a special announcement. From 17 to 20 October 2024, we will be holding a groundbreaking conference in Adelaide, Australia. The first Australasian Pacific Conference on Para-Reurbanisation and Serenology. Para-Reurbanisation and Serenology are important research fields of conscienciology, each in their own way concerned with the significant changes our planet is and will continue to experience for the foreseeable future. If you are not sure what these topics are about and would like to know more, you could listen to a couple of episodes of this podcast. Episode 51 with Tony Muskopf discusses serenology, or the study of the Homo sapiens serenissimus, our evolutionary future. In episode 18 with Alexandra Baltazar, I discuss para-reurbanization, the changes we consider to have started in the non-physical dimensions that are leading to profound changes in our physical reality and that are behind many of the social challenges of our era. If you feel drawn to these topics, then this conference is for you. In keeping with the principle of self-experimentation, there will be 2 days of presentations and discussions, as well as 2 days of thematically relevant parapsychic dynamics. A link to the conference website will be in the show notes. There you will find more information, including the call for papers, in case you want to present at the conference. We look forward to seeing you in beautiful Adelaide for this significant event. And now let's get on with today's episode. My guest today, Jörn Schmidt, is the coordinator of ExtraCons, a research organization that focuses on the study of extraterrestrial consciousness through the consciential paradigm. That is a paradigm that centers consciousness rather than matter and treats consciousness as a multidimensionally manifesting intelligence. If you listen to this podcast, you will likely have an appreciation for synchronicities in life. A couple of nights before my conversation with Jörn, I was looking up at the night sky when I noticed an unusually bright light, stationary at what seemed like the height of a low-flying plane. We occasionally get low planes and also helicopters, so my first assumption was that it was one of those. But I registered that there was no engine noise and that it had not moved for a good 10 seconds. Then it started moving quickly horizontally across the sky before suddenly moving vertically away from the ground in what seemed like a straight line. Because all it was a light, I did not really attach a lot of significance to it beyond a momentary curiosity. And in fact, I had forgotten about it until the day after my interview with Jörn. This morning, well, that was the day after the interview, I opened my podcast app and spontaneously decided to check into a podcast I have not listened to for many months. It is called Gaslit Nation, and its subject matter is usually issues of corruption and the danger of rising autocracies around the world. So imagine my surprise when the latest episode was an interview with the New York Times reporter Ralph Blumenthal about his long-standing research into UFOs. These two events, bookending my interview on the subject of extraterrestrials, does feel significant, like a call for my attention, because I have not been giving this subject matter any attention for many years. If you've read my book, you may remember that I discuss some of my non-physical encounters with extraterrestrial consciousnesses. These happened during what I now consider a prolonged spiritual crisis during which my worldview was blown open wide and I needed to adjust to many new understandings about the nature of reality and our life here. But once that period was over and I focused on managing my intraphysical responsibilities of family and profession, I largely lost interest in ETs. Because how important are ETs when your day is full of supporting little humans to grow up, working towards mastery in your profession, dealing with home renovations or marital issues? Every now and then, I would still perceive ET consciousnesses during energy dynamics and meditations, but much like the UFO I saw 2 days ago, I would forget about them almost immediately after the perceptions. The study of extraterrestrial consciousness is a fringe field within the fringe that is experiential consciousness research. Most people who pursue OBEs or mediumistic communication with non-physical people do so to connect with deceased loved ones. ETs seem literally alien to us, like complete incomprehensible strangers. Why would we want to connect with them out of the body? This is one of the questions I discuss with Jern. A side effect of the fringe nature of this phenomenon is that not many people share their experiences. In fact, in reviewing my book, I was reminded that I had censored myself and not included all the phenomena I had experienced, because I did not understand them and thought they might sound too fantastical. Which, given some of the other fantastical things I talk about in my book, is saying something. One of the points Jern makes is that it is important for us to share our experiences. That is the only way we can develop the kind of data set necessary to deepen our studies and understandings. In the show notes, you will find a link to where you can share your experiences with extra cons and contribute to their research. But for now, I hope you enjoy this conversation, and as always, don't believe in anything. Have your own experiences and conduct your own experiments.
So my guest today is Jern Schmidt, who's originally from Germany. Jern now lives in Iguazu Falls, Brazil, at the campus of the Center for Higher Studies of Conscienciology. Jern is an electrical engineer by training, and he's currently working as a German teacher in Brazil. His life is very much dedicated to the study of conscienciology, with a focus on extraterrestriology and the consciential basement. And we'll touch on both of those topics in a moment to elaborate more about what that is about. For me, this is a really interesting combination, and I want to explore that in this interview. But I always like to start with a bit of personal background to understand how people get drawn into these niche topics. And so, Jern, I guess it's clear that you have made, from what I know about you, I know you've made big life changes by relocating your life from Germany to Brazil, by giving up your profession as a electrical engineer to have more time and, I guess, just have the ability to focus your study on conscienciology. And I am very curious about what triggered those changes, what made you transform your life in that way.
So thank you for the for inviting me here for the podcast. And what happened to me was starting in 2006 when I had the first classes in conscienciology, and I learned something about OBEs. So I never have doubts that we have experience out of our body. And I know some extra physical dimensions, but I like to know how does it work to go by my will out of body. So in 2007, I had a little project, and I learned the techniques of going out of body. So I worked here with the technique of the vibrational state, and it was a work. I felt that I could make it by my will to go out of my body, and I made it. It was very interesting. I had some months to work with that, but I was working very seriously, and I worked each night on that topic. And after some months, I had some experience. So first, I felt some movements. It was not easy to see in that dimension. So it was step by step that I had more and more perceptions or para-perceptions of my movements in the out-of-body experience. And then I had a goal to visit someone to have a proof that what I was living there, what happened, that this is right and real.
So it's not just a dream or something, right? So it's an actual...
Exactly.
Yeah.
Imagination, hallucination, because my imagination is very good. When I was a child, I was thinking, I have a good dream. Tomorrow I can restart the dream and change something. And when I come together with some friends, I like to change the location or something like that. But when I had more context, more concepts, and when I had the classes and we talked about the dimensions and so on, then I want to know how does it work. And right. As an engineer, I like to know it by truth. So I like to have that proof that I was in a location and I remember that. And it was in 2007 when I went out, and a friend of mine was in the hospital, and I didn't know the place. So I like to visit him. And I felt a movement, and then I actually visit him in the hospital, and I was very lucid, so I could remember every detail, the detail of the room, the neighbor, how he had a neighbor, very strange person. First, I was thinking, that's imagination or something wrong. But when I came back to my physical body, I had all that information, and I had written down everything. And 2 days after that, I visit him intraphysically. And then I can see that all that details are truth.
Right.
So this was something which changes my life. I never had doubts about that, but now to have a improvement in my hand and to see it is real, that I can go out of my body and visit a different location, this shows me that I have to think more about it. So the space I gave that concepts in my day-to-day life was very small. And with that proof, I noticed I have to change my life. I have to include this in today. And this is why I was changing many things in my life, also my profession. And at least I said I want to work more close to my evolutionary group. So the people I have met before that intraphysical life, when we had this intermissive course, and when we planned our today life, and I'm sure that we have some confirmations that we will meet each other here in that life to realize things which helps the evolution at least. So
it helps the evolution as a group, right? To help us to move forward as a group, you mean?
Yes. The evolutionary group for me is a group which confirmed before, in my case, before that intraphysical life, to work together. To realize some things, to have a plan, what we call the proaxis, so the programmation of the
existential program in English, yes.
Yes, the existential program. And I felt that I had a maxi existential program with my friends. So I like to work with them more close together in a different location that... was in Germany. In Germany was a small group. And when I came for some classes here to Foz de Iguaçu, I was surprised how many people are here. And then it happens that there come some insights, like, I remember you, but I do not know what we have said. Or some people I talked in German because I felt they are close to me,
yeah.
But they are Brazilian, or in that case, a Portuguese also. So he didn't speak German. And when I felt, yes, this is really my evolutionary group. I like to change my life and include the contact with this group and to work together as volunteers.
Right. Now, that is, it's a fascinating story, and I'd like to wind back a little bit, because I guess I'm curious. That's a big impact from one experience, right? And I understand it was a profound experience, that having that evidential OBE, it's quite rare. Many of us don't have an evidential OBE like that, where you can actually confirm physical details afterwards. So that's very, very special. And I see how that really shifted your understanding, right? It grounds it in us, right? If we have an experience like that, we really know. It's no longer, I think maybe it feels right, but I'm not. But I'm curious, before 2006, before you had a first class in Consensiology, had you studied these things at all? Or were you looking for something at that point?
Yes. So what happens when in my childhood I had out of body experience, but I didn't know that I had. So for me it was something natural, and I always had the will, or I like to have more information about that and to work a little with that stuff. And then I came to some more mystic groups, so groups which are working with rituals or mystical, spiritual things. And when I came to that groups, I felt very home and said, wow, yes, it's very good. And I profound the theories, and I like to practice with them. But after a while, I find out these groups are not open for the consequences of it. So it is like, then there are no more information. There's no development for me for the future time. So I went out of these groups. This happened, I think, 3 or 4 times that I was working with these mystical groups, with groups which are working spiritual or also with the rituals. Yes.
And then I'm curious, because of my own trajectory and how I got Consensiology, how I came across Consensiology, did you have any, before you went to that workshop, did you have any inkling, did you have any signals that there might be some shift happening in your life, that you're stepping into a new evolutionary stage in your life?
Yeah, this is something interesting. I always had the feeling that something huge will come, something will change in my life totally, completely. I didn't know why, but this feeling I had long time. When I was young, I remember when I was 15, 16, when we had the Cold War and the wall in Germany, there I was thinking, oh, maybe we will fall into a war side or something like that, and this will change my life. So I was always quite looking what could happen with the big change in my life. But it was not a war or something that the society has changed. It was myself who was changing. And this is the insight, I think, he was talking. For me, it was clear I have a big task to do here on that planet, in that actual life, intraphysical life. But I didn't get it. So when I had that experience, then it was clear that something happens. And there were some other insights which are not so good. I had accidents. So I had car accident, motorcycle accident.
Is this around 2006 when you, is this around that time or before?
It was before.
Okay.
It was before. For me, it was strange because that accidents were very heavy, and I had no problems with that. So normally people has to go to hospital, had problems with their physical body or something like that. I didn't have nothing. And the last time I had an accident with a car and also with a motorcycle, I felt helpers helping me to survive that situation, to come out of that situation with any consequences. Only I was thinking a lot of that. So this were some insights that I can feel that extraphysical consciousness helping me to survive there in that accident situation.
And that gave you a sense of purpose, I guess, right? That there was some support and that there must be some reason for that.
Yes, on the one hand, and on the other hand, I was asking myself, why did I had this accident? It was very, scary for me that I didn't have nothing, and friends of my of mine, they died, or they had they had problems with their life after an accident, and it doesn't happen to me. So this is something strange. So for me, it was I was doing something wrong that this could happen. I felt guilty about that, and when I had more ideas of the concepts of consensuality. Today, I can say that my existential program I had planned, I didn't work on that and at that time. So I was incoherent what I want to do with my life. And then the intrusion happens much easier. And this was when I had this out of bed experience, and I had that proof of this works. Then I noticed I had to do something immediately
to align your physical life with the trajectory that you had planned extraphysically.
Yes, for me it was clear when I continue in that style of my life, I was workaholic, I was materialistic man who likes to have cars, I do motorcycling, I do sports. It was not very very good, very healthy for myself. And I worked with companies which are only looking for the money side, and they do not have an interest in my concepts to work together with the employees, for example. So here I saw I have to change immediately. I changed my job. I went off and I was working like a self-made man. I was working with projects, and then I changed many things in my life. So it was also something like an ending of that part in Germany. For me, it was the work side. Also, the people I was going around, my friends, they had no interest. Only two or three of my friends, they had interest on out-of-body experience or something like that. They're looking for, I don't know what, family, profession. They are talking about sports, for example, or something like that. And they were happy when we had some parties. But I didn't have any interest on that when I saw, oh, here's something very serious that I have to change. So for me to quit with these groups, the old groups, was easy for me.
It reminds me a bit of stories that people often have after they have a near-death experience. And then the near-death experience highlights a lot of the things that you just said, right? Like that they have to, that their life is been not on the right track, that their values have been, in a sense, misaligned, right? That there's other dimensions to life. So it sounds like, I mean, your accident sounds very serious. So in a way, they're like close to near-death experiences because you could have died.
Yes, close to.
Yeah. But they weren't the trigger, really, right? It was only afterwards when you had that OBE that you look back and went, oh, yes, those experiences are significant too.
Yes, and I talked with people who had near-death experience. For example, in 2018, I gave a class in Berlin about conscientiology, and it was a weekend. And there, I think it was more than the half of the students were from the group with near-death experience. So it was very interesting to combine what happened in their cases and in my case. And I can say my change to accelerate the existential program, to work serious, to find out what is the next evolutionary step I have to do. For example, a better profession or to work as a volunteer, to pass that information to other people, to work as a teacher in conscientiology. These are, for me, evolutionary steps that I had planned to do, and I didn't. So for me, it was clear I could end my lifetime here when I was continuing like that, in a materialistic way of life.
Yeah, because you kind of have a reset, right? It's like a reset button. No, you're not doing the thing. Let's start again.
No.
Yeah. Okay. That's really interesting. And obviously, conscientiology sounds like you really, the way you described it, you found your home there. You found people that you recognized. The concepts, were they? I know a lot of people. This seems to be kind of a bit of a split. Some people start reading conscientiology texts and they go, oh, what are these words? I don't understand them. Why are they all these complicated terms? And for other people, it's like, oh, yeah, this is really familiar. It's like I know existential program and extraphysical and conscien and all these terms. What was your experience like?
Yeah, when I start to read the books from conscientiology, I had only in English. So for me, it was not so easy. And Waldo Vieira, he writes books, he has written books in an English way, which is more like a doctor, a medical. And it was not easy to understand. So it was for me not easy to read books and then to have some experience. I come from the practical side. So I prefer to talk with people and see what are your experience, what are mine, and what did the concepts of conscientiology said. So when I start what we call recycling process, so to recycle what we have learned in the past lives, this helps to have classes and courses in conscientiology, yes. But the terms for me, I do not like so much.
Okay.
It was more like a philosophy or something, a mainstream. It is good to have some definitions which are clear, exactly, and assigned. Yeah. This is very important. I agree with that. But first of all, I like to know how does it work. And then it comes the new words and that. I work on that today also, but for example, I was writing a book of the consensual basement, which is something that in childhood happened when the child has a very less lucidity. and did not know what happened and so on. And this book I write in with very, very easy words, easy to read, to understand. I had examples and then some definitions, which is needed from consensology and the concepts in an explaining way that people can understand. So the new words, what you said, this is not so much my stuff, but I agree we need it.
Right. And yeah, look, I'm actually really interested in the combination of your research interests, consciential basement and extraterrestrial consciousness. In one sense, you could say that they are like polar opposites, because the consciential basement is like the just for people explaining, if you don't know the concept, right? It's in our, as Jörn just said, when we're young, we're children, teenagers, and we are still adapting to this physical life, and we're also influenced by all our past life influences that are more that are less mature, let's say, that are keeping us more emotional, old emotions of anger and resentment and depression and frustration and the things that we often see teenagers struggling with as they find their place in the world. And so in some ways you could say that's the most human aspect. And then you have that interest in non-human consciousness. And I'm really curious about how you see the relationship, if you see a relationship between those two, and how you see it.
I think it has the same roots. When I had that experience and I felt out, my consensual basement has finished. Now I'm more clear about my life and I will going on. This is important to see. Why do I suffer before on the consensual basement so long time? And with this knowledge, I can help other people to not make the same errors, to has more courage to put the life in your hands and their hands. And
so just to be clear, Jörn, because that experience you had as a mature adult, right? So you're saying,
yes,
the consciential basement continued, because I just said teenagers and kids, but you're basically saying it impacted your life well into your adulthood.
Right. Yes, in my case, it happened that the consensual basement was in the childhood. Then I had more lucidity. But we have in our lifetime phases, different phases, which has lots of changes. Waldo talked about, for example, with 24 years that the soma, the biological body, has a full disinvolvement, and then a new phase came, and I felt that I had that impacts which are similar to the consensual basement each time when I had this change from one phase in the life to another. So it happened that I was continuing, for example, motorcycling. I had made risk sports like jiu-jitsu when it was more than 40 years. So this is something which I was going backwards. And interesting for me is when I had that change and I took my life in my hand, and I can feel that I can accelerate my existential program and the steps I had planned, I can get more easy. Then I had more understanding of the system. How does the intrusion works in the consensual basement? And this is something which is for me similar with the science or new science of extraterrestriality. We do not see clearly what is the cosmos, how is the evolution in the cosmos, and how is everything connected. But we had an affinity, or we feel something like that. I always felt I had to do something. And I was without doubts that there are concepts like different dimensions. And in extraterrestrology, it's the same. First, we had some doubts. And then we asked, is it possible that we are alone here on our planet with life? Of course, it's not. So the logic side, they said, oh, no, it's not. So what is hindering me to have a research on it? And for me, it is similar, because when we start to go out of the consensual basement, when we start to dig deeper about extraterrestriality, when we are open-minded for that new concept that we felt that they are truth, and we are working with it, for example, with projections, lucid projections, to find out are there people, consciousness, extraterrestrials, and could we work together, for example, in an assistant way to help on one and another planet each other, then we can see that what the truth is, and the realities come more clear to our side. So in other words, for me, the extraterrestriality is a tool to go out of our point of view that we had here on our terrestrial life, that monovision, let's say like that, and to be more open-minded for concepts which are including the planet Earth and had much more various and diversity of the cosmos.
As I listen to you, I'm reminded of, I think it's called the overview effect, the experience that astronauts have when they leave the planet and they look back and they suddenly realize, A, that we are all part of a family of beings living here, and B, that we're part of something much, much bigger and just a tiny speck. I'm getting a bit of a sense from you that that's what studying extraterrestriology does, can do as well.
Yes, and the truth is it's very easy to study it. I remember you had a bioenergetic workshop some days ago. So you worked with energies. And when you felt energies which are here on the planet Earth, for example, from the planets or from the plants or from the geo energies or something like that, from the ground, from the Earth, you can connect yourself with that energies. And then you can feel that you are here on the planet. You also can make an experiment to have a connection with a cosmo energy. Cosmo energy is also an immanent energy. And just to have a connection with that energy, the people could feel that it is easy to connect with the cosmos and to leave the restricts we had here on the planet Earth. So this is for me, how does it work?
Yes, how do you just connect with the cosmo energy? What's the method?
The method. Okay, you remember when we had the energization. So first we have the movement of the energies, and then the exteriorization of the energy.
So explain it for people, because obviously some people listening may never have done energy work.
Oh, sorry. The energy, you can move with your will. So the energy, the bioenergies of your energosoma, you can move by your will. When I said I like to move, for example, to exteriorize energy with my hands, I can feel it, that it's going out energies. And when some people are sensible, they can feel they are coming energies. So I can move energies, bioenergies, by my will. And that movement, I can expand, for example, my energy body, my energosoma. I can expand it. I can feel, oh, now I'm here very close to my body, or I can go expand it and I can feel the room. I can feel huge space and expand more and more. On that technique, you can have a connection which is out of the psychosphere of this planet. So expand just in one direction. So, for example, from the coronal chakra, from your head, and exercise the energies upwards and go far as possible. You can feel more and more an independence of our gravity here on planet Earth. And you can feel something like the energies out of this place of the planet, and the immanent energies of the cosmos are very strong. So the connection with that is very interesting. How does they feel? So yeah. When you had this bioenergetically work, an opposite could be, for example, to feel the energies from a tree. Then you can feel directly the tree, and this is a different perception.
Yes.
It's interesting. So just practice. It's everyone can do it.
Yeah. And so just so people know, Jörn is referring to a workshop we had here in Adelaide recently where we did a lot of energy work, including in botanic gardens, where we connected with a lot of different kinds of energy. And it's really interesting when you notice how different trees feel different kinds of bushes, water, the air. So in that context, then expanding our perceptions and our understanding to go beyond all those energies that are associated with the earth. So that's a technique, right? And that sounds like that's one of the practical techniques that comes into your field of study. But I would like to understand, how did you get into extraterrestriology? Did you have some experience around that as well? Like you described that OBE, was there like a key experience that sparked your interest? Or is this something that maybe you had since childhood, but then it was kind of dormant? Or how did you get into, because it's quite a niche. Within the niche space that is conscienceology, it's very niche again.
Yes, that's true. So what happened when I was 15 or 16, I had I was thinking at that time dreams, but I think it was out of body experience with extraterrestrials, but they were not very kind. So they sucked my energy, and it was a little uncosmoetically. So it was not very good experience for me. And but I was sure that these people were extraterrestrial. Their physiognomy was different. The location was different also. What we call the consensual energy. So the energies of this consciousness were different. And it was not very, very good experience for me. And I didn't pay so much
Was it like a nightmare for you when you were a teenager? Did it feel like basically it was a nightmare? Or?
Yes, it was a kind of nightmare, yes, but it was not so dramatic. It was more ethereal. It happens lots of nights. So it happened some months that they sucked my energy. But I think it has something to do with my lucidity and maturity. Because at that time, when I was 15, I was in the consensual basement, of course, and I had some desires. There was, in this case, was the sexual desires I had with 15, like boys have at that time. And I felt that they know that. And they used that desires of myself to open myself to suck my energy. And I... after a while, when I was more and more aware about that situation, I can see that they have some techniques to suck energies. It was interesting. This was the first contact, but I was not so. It was not so interesting for me to study that, because out of body experience, I had a lot different adventures and things. It starts only when I came here to Consensuology in Foz de Iguaçu. It was more or less in 2010 or 11. I didn't know it really for sure. And there was a debate with Waldo Vieira, who was a very parapsychic man, and he starts to talk more and more about extraterrestriology. It happened that he starts talking about that in 2009. The studies were older, but it was not very common to have debates here with the community on CIAC, on the campus. And when he was talking, he was looking and he said, in my words, something like, we had some people here who were more extraterrestrial or had more extraterrestrial energies. I didn't remember that the exactly words he told us, and he pointed out some, I think, five or six people, and said you had extraterrestrial affinity, let's say like that. And he pointed out my neighbor. It was Felipe Piccolo, who was the coordinator of the extra council, the pre CI at that time, who was studying extraterrestriality and started with a group of self-researchers and myself also. And this was when I felt, oh yes, when he said this could be. And I participated at that time on the dynamic, the inter-assistential parapsychic dynamic of extra cons. So I had to explain a little what is a dynamic.
Yeah, explain, and also just explain maybe what extra cons is, extra cons and the dynamic.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's start with the institution. So in Consensuology, we had, I think, 25 different institutions, concentric institutions. And every institution works with specialization. And you are an official institute. You are an institute in founding, so you work before being official. And the extra cons is the name of extraterrestrial consciousness or of extraterrestriology research in Consensuology. Is an institute with a specialization of extraterrestriology. And this institute, nowadays I'm the coordinator, and we are very close to be an official institute. So we work with this research. This is our specialization. And the second, what I have to explain is there are not only institutes, and we do not only work with the research, we also had some dynamics to work in an assistance way. So a dynamic is something which happens every week at the same time, at the same location. So it was here in the campus of CIAC. We have here a special room for it. This is a room of the dynamics where a group come together to work in an assistance way for more or less 2 hours. And this has also a little ritual. So we work with energies. We have someone who was leading that situation. He's called the Epicon. So he's a consensual epicenter of the energies, and he was leading that work. And there we work with donations of energies that the extra physical helpers had the opportunity to work in an assistance way. So I participated on that dynamic of extraterrestriology, and there we had contact, and I can see by clairvoyance also extraterrestrial helpers, and this was very interesting. And this was something which was a start for me to see and to feel extra-physical helpers which coming from a different planet and work together with our groups here in an assistance way. Very interesting. Yeah. And then I was sure that I had not only affinity to extraterrestrials, I was sure that I was working with them together. So it was like friends that they helped us, or we had some consciousness who needs something and they could help with their technology. And for me, it was clear that I want to dig a little bit deeper to find out what is in my existential program that I come together with extraterrestrial beings. And I had more and more informations with out-of-body experience, with my existential work, and also with the ideas which are coming up in my mind. So I felt that there was a working together with the extraterrestrial helpers yeah. who are helping to had some good ideas about concepts, about the cosmos, the evolution, and how does the conviviality was in the practical way between the planets, for example. And I start more and more to work together with the intraphysical group, what I said, my evolutionary group, what I find here. And the people, they ask me to write an article or to lead something. And so I came more and more in the way of working as a leader for that research area.
Yeah. And just to be clear, from what you've said, and it makes sense given the context in which you're studying it through conscienceology, the focus is on consciousnesses that are manifesting in extraterrestrial or that are not human in their current presentation. But it's very like multidimensional. It sounds like parapsychic experiences with them. You are not, because a lot of focus and extra, when people talk about ETs, there's often focus on things like spacecraft, Roswell, like the idea that there are alien, non-human bodies somewhere, the physical technology. So that's not the focus so much of your research, right? It's more of the interdimensional kind of relationships.
Yes, and how does we work? I think this is interesting. So when new people come to talk with us, we are open. We have also a college which works once a week to have some debates and discussions, which are very open. When the people come the first time, the most have experience. I have some experience, but I did not know what happened. And they want to hear what does the consensuality said to my case. So,
yeah.
So they come and we listen, and then we share our experience. So this was the first activity of extraterrestriology research. We share our experience, and then we were studying what is in the consensuality known about that. What does consensuality experience are? For example, Waldo had some experience and he has written down. So we made a research on the studies of the books of consensuality and also of the books which are not from consensuality to see are there similar experience from different authors who has published something. And with that study, and our sharing of experience, we work with hypotheses. And when we had first only an hypothesis, oh, it could be that, for example, evolution is not only for one planet, that there are planets with different levels of evolution. So some which are lower, some which are higher levels. In evolution, we can have by hypothesis steps to go from one planet to another planet. When we like schools, when we had the ground basic school on one planet, and when we finished that school, okay, then go to the next one, and then to planet Earth, and after planet Earth to the next one, to have more and more development, or in other words, evolution. And these concepts, which are has a description in conceology, we profound with our experience, and we are very critical and said that could it be that, and then we have cases and said, okay, here's a pro and contra, and then we worked from hypothesis to concepts, and when we had more concepts, we start with experiments. So experiments for us are very important to have more experience out of body when we had more lucidity and more options to find things out. For example, we can have a goal when we go out of body. So we had techniques to leave our physical body, and we can also work with a goal. I want to visit another planet, or I want to visit my last planet, my hometown planet, or something like that. Or I want to know when is it true when I come together in a dynamic with an extra-physical being from another planet? Can I visit him at this home planet? We worked with these goals and had more experience. And with this more experience, we come to a cycle to share our experience again and to deepen hypothesis, and this is how we work.
Right. When you talk about experiments, doing experiments, they are usually based on out-of-body experiences, are they? So you set out-of-body experience goals, and then you report back that information and try and add it to the data pool.
Yeah, this is a big difference. We had some people coming from ufology, for example, and there are many people who want to have an intraphysical contact, and they more or less waiting for it, or they do something to have a contact in a material physical way. In our case, it is more when it happened, it's good, and we also had some ideas how can it be and so on, but our focus is more on experience we always have. So out of body experience and parapsychic perceptions, all of us, we have. And when we come together with a group of people who had an affinity to extraterrestrial research, then it is much better, I think, to have an invest of out-of-body experience and have the informations much quicker. For example, out-of-body experience to a planet which is not in our galaxy could be a little tricky. We do not have the technology yet to realize that intraphysical. So,
You mean like having a physical experience? Trip to a
physical
but an out-of-body experience is an avenue to go there.
So the out-of-body experience and the techniques to work with the techniques, and we also make group experiments, and we work with the laboratories we had here on the campus. This helps a lot. And also the courses, we have huge field courses with a huge energetically inter-assistance field. And there it happens some more or less 10 years that I felt more extraterrestrial helpers coming to work on that with us in that strong energetic fields. And this is also for me very interesting. For example, we had we have here in Foz do Iguaçu and also in São Paulo a dynamic for parasurgery. So parasurgery is like surgeries we had, but not with a soma, with a biological body. And they help us bring their consciousness, which had needed or which we can assist with a parasurgery. Para in this case is in the extraphysical dimension.
So it's a surgery on the energy body or the psychosoma, right? The astral body.
Right.
On those sort
exactly.
of
which has an influence of the biological body. So for example, if someone had a surgery intraphysical and he knows in 2 weeks I will do that and that, could participate on that dynamic at the same time, and maybe the helpers can help with the dynamic in the from the extraphysical side, which has an influence of the healthy of the physical body. And what happened there, it was in 2014 that more than 2-3 people recognize that there are some extraterrestrial gray people, very huge one, more than 2 meters, come there to participate on that assistance work. And this was for me very interesting because I had the opportunity to have a coupling, an energetically coupling with this extraphysical, extraterrestrial consciousness. And I can felt what he felt. It was for me more a he than a she. And this was very different, a different body. And then we can see that there was a group of extraterrestrial helpers who were working like medicals, and they had an equipment which was not from our planet. So they had technologies from a different planet, and they used that technology to help the assistants with the consciousness from our planet. Very interesting. And after a while came also assisted extraterrestrials. So they had consciousness from their planet to have here on our planet to work with the technology from them and with our energies.
And they needed help. So there was extraterrestrial consciousnesses, some of whom were helpers and some of whom were benefiting from assistance.
Yes.
Is that right?
Exactly. Assisted. Yes, yeah. People.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And tell me if there's more to that.
No, it was there it starts that we had some hypothesis. So we had the hypothesis or first a question, make a question, everything makes easier. Why do they participate? That was the first one. And then the second one was, if they have that technology, why do they use it with our energies here? And it's interesting, we had I had some telepathic contact with that gray from the first encounters we had. And he said, when I asked, why are you here? He said, from the level of the planet Earth, which is very low, these dynamics which you are doing here calls my attention, and I want to know what you are doing here. And first he was only observing it. He was looking what we are doing. And then after a while, he came as a medical. And then we had more questions. Why did they use the technologies on our planet and do not make the benefits on their planet? And the idea here is that maybe the energies from the planet and from us, what we are donators of energies here, are special energies, which has a development of that technology. So it could be also a process of working together with technologies from different planets with our energies, which has a development for more advanced technologies. Just hypothesis.
Yeah. And as you're talking, I'm thinking, well, you don't know whether they're not using it on their planet, right? They might be using it on their planet, and then they go like, well, let's see what happens if we do it over there on this strange Earth planet. They might be doing it on both scenarios. But I would like to ask you, you mentioned the term gray a couple of times. And usually when I hear that in that sort of ufology space, people are talking about the little sort of smaller people called grays. And half the people I see have an idea about these being negative consciousnesses or negative aliens, negative. So I'm curious whether you distinguish different species. I know some people go right down that track of identifying all these different species and saying these are from this planet and these are from that planet, and also labeling them usually as good or bad, which I always have a bit of a problem with, because to me that seems like labeling human consciousnesses as good or bad, right? It's kind of but I'm curious, tell me a bit about that perspective. And also, because you said you had some negative experiences in your youth, were they different consciousnesses? How do you untangle that?
Yeah, I think it's good to have some ideas of concepts. One concept is our thoughts, so our thoughts, energies, and sentiments, which coming together. Our thoughts, which is a new word, our thoughts here are interesting. To feel when I have, for example, bad energies, when I was a pathological consciousness, I attract with my thoughts someone who has the same. So the same thoughts attracts it. So the people come together. It is like a magnetic stuff that when the energies are the same, then they have connection. It's like a magnetic concept. And my hypothesis in my case when I was younger is that my thoughts were bad and I attracted there the same or similar thoughts. So when I came together with some consciousness, terrestrial or extraterrestrial, they had more or less the same. And this was not good experience.
I wonder if we could just. I wonder if it's okay if we take out the. There was like when you say your thoughts were bad, right? Like I feel there's a bit of almost like a moral judgment there, but it's more like a
pathologically ill.
Like uncontrolled, right? You were desire driven the way you described it. You were self-centered, maybe. You wanted whatever you wanted, so you were kind of
It was more like my instinct or more animal thoughts I had. It was more like my sexual desires also. This is not very cosmetic, and my intention was bad in this case because it was not for to have some good development with a relationship. It was more like a sexual desires that I had, and I want to have contact with a woman. And these energies or these soul scenes I had, they attracts there some consciousness with which are similar to that,
and they make they make you easy to manipulate, right? They make your energy easy to manipulate.
Exactly. This is something which is manipulation. And I think the intention of this extraterrestrial were just to have some energies. That's all. And they sucked me out. When I was now with, for example, in the dynamics, the intention is very different. So it's more cosmoetic. It's an addict which is also in the cosmos. So we want to help different beings in the evolution. This is very existential, altruistic. And then we come together with consciousness, terrestrial or extraterrestrial, which has the same ideas. So when we have here a group which have affinity to extraterrestrial beings, and they are working in a dynamic to call these helpers or beings or friends, and our energies are good for to make assistance, could happen that they can, that they come and participate. So when people has that bad experience, my question is here, what foreseen did you have when it happens? Are your very assistance way, or is it more that you had some immature things? And another interesting aspect is with our psychosoma, so the astral body, which we can go out of our body, has an opportunity to change the physiognomy. So it is very easy for an intruder to open ourselves to manipulate when he knows or she knows, oh, Jörn and Kim, they like extraterrestrials and they are very open for it. And they like to give, to spend good energies for extraterrestrials, not to make assistance work. So I make a theater and yes, change my physiognomy and give some what I know what they want to have. So a good atmosphere, some extraterrestrial atmospheres here, maybe in a romantic way, more or less like that. And then they manipulate us to suck our energies. This is also possible. So for us, it's important to distinguish, to find out with whom we are together when we are out of body.
Yeah, that was actually exactly a question I had, is how can you tell whether you are, whether it is an extraterrestrial consciousness or a deceptively disguised intruder? Yeah.
The experience in our group is, it's not the physiognomy, which is very clear. It is more the energies. It's very interesting that the extraterrestrial beings, for me and for many others of our group also, they had a different soul scene. It's a different one. It's, yes. I couldn't describe it better, this is a good check to see when people are sensible about soul scenes and in the coupling, when we had couplings, for example, in the assistance work, we always have energetically coupling with the people who have benefits and also with the helpers who work with the energies. No? And when we have a sympathetic coupling and auric
coupling.
Thank you. Then we can feel very easy the soul of the other one. It's like clear.
Like a pattern, right? The pattern. You can feel this quality of the dominant thoughts and emotions that a person has. Yeah.
So I think when we go out of body and we had some connection with consciousness who were extraterrestrials or now, spend energy and feel in a coupling the thought scene from the other one to find out, is it terrestrial or extraterrestrial? It's a kind of training, I think.
Yeah. I mean, look, this is the thing with a lot of this with consensiology or with any parapsychic work, right? For some people, this might sound just, this will sound completely like an alien language that we're talking, staying with the ET theme. Because if you haven't ever felt another person's energies, if you don't have that sensation, or if you're not aware, because I think most of us actually feel, I think it's very rare not to feel energy, but a lot of us aren't aware that we're doing that. If you've never really clearly felt another person's thosenity or holothosine, it's an abstract idea, right? It's just an idea. Whereas
First, it is abstract, but the good note is that we all can practice it. So, in the classes in consensology, we learned it. We can learn it. What is my energy? What is the energy from my neighbor, for example? This is the first what we learn, and then we go forward. And it's very practical, and it's easy to learn. Go to the classes and learn it. It's fantastic. So here I do not see a big difference between the terrestrial or extraterrestrial consciousness. At least I think we all here on our planet are extraterrestrial who had a time here on that planet, and then we go forward to a different one. So for me, it is not they and we or something like that. For me, it is a together.
Yes, that's at the level of consciousness, right? Like at the level of when you strip us right back to our essence of consciousness, then we would agree, you and I, that and I guess that's the understanding that we have in consensiology, that all consciousness has been on other planets before experiencing human lives. But I would say, like, for us now, we've had, most of us that are having these conversations or that are probably listening would have had many human lives, and our thosenes, as you just say, they've been filtered for a long time through the human experience, the human perspective of time, the human perspective of our environment and the gravity of this planet and the forms of psychology that a human being has around attachment and all the things we take for granted to be human, which an extraterrestrial consciousness, they might have completely, if they've had many lives on another planet, they might have a completely different experience, a perspective of time, a perspective of what it means. Like if there's, say, a planet where everybody has a shared group consciousness, or where people where the consciousnesses are fully aware of, maybe they live for hundreds of thousands of years in a physical life, their whole perspective of existence is so alien, right, to use that word, from us. And I guess that's the fascinating thing I find. And then to think about a consciousness coming and having its first life in a human experience when they've had such a different experience for many lifetimes.
Yeah.
What that would mean, the kind of adjustment that would take.
Yes, Waldo Vieira had that experience of the consciousness is called EM, extraterrestrial mentor. This extraterrestrial consciousness had a planet which was destroyed. And he came here, and on that different planet, the home planet from EM, they had a different body. It was more like a reptile. And when he came here, the first, what we call resoma, or the first birth with a human body, should be a little tricky because it was different. So the paragenetics, the genetics from the past lives that he had was not very similar to the human body. And Waldo Vieira, he gave the opportunity to have energetic coupling, and EM could feel the psychosoma from Waldo in that coupling. That very interesting. Waldo Vieira called it the pre-my concept. So
pre-mother, pre-mother, yeah.
Pre-mother concept and helped this consciousness to adapt with the human body for the first rebirth. This is very interesting. We had these cases also in the dynamics. We had some couplings with the information or what comes in the mind of the people when they had that strong feeling of a coupling with extraterrestrial who had different bodies. And the information here is that these people, by hypothesis, are preparing for the first rebirth in a human body. And this is something, the adaptation is also one of the studies we had, which is very interesting. How many people has a capacity to spend a coupling with a different being? It's sometimes very strange.
Because feelings. I think in Valdo's case, the coupling went on for some years, right? It wasn't just a temporary coupling during a dynamic. They sort of lived together, in a sense, with having
air. Yes, it was more than 40 years. But it also exists some short-time couplings here. And it's always the question, who's able to give, to spend that opportunity to have an coupling. I had some in the dynamics, and I can say it's very strange when I felt what the extraterrestrial gene felt when it had the first time the power of the human organs. And for example, I had a coupling with an extraterrestrial who his lungs were very small. It was more like a fish.
Right.
So breathing was very hard. And when I had the feeling, I closely was to a panic attack because it felt that I couldn't breathe. But it was the reaction that this coupling was so strong that it was not easy to use the lungs for that extraterrestrial consciousness. So it's very interesting, and these are experience which helps to share with other to see how is our capacity to spend assistance or to work with extraterrestrial helpers teams and also interterrestrial helper teams for that process, for example, when new consciousness are coming here to our planet.
Yes. Do you kind of track different types of extraterrestrial, like the different kinds of manifestations? So you mentioned the 2 meter grays. We mentioned the Valdo's EM, you know, being sort of reptilian in shape. You mentioned the fish like, or maybe aquatic, some kind of aquatic soma. The college kind of track different kinds of manifestations?
Yeah, we are with the extra cons, we are elaborating a class about the different types of extraterrestrials we had contact, and it's always interesting not only to have a register or classification of the physiognomy. It's also interesting in which cases we came together, what is the sense of our coming together, do we work together, what situation and so on, what energies do they have, and many different questions. And we are elaborating a class we will give at the International Week with the Isaac together. So on the side on Isaac, you can have more informations, and on our site, extracons.com, we will share also more informations.
Yeah.
And we will have in July a course of 12 hours. It will be Sundays, 4 Sundays, always in the morning in Brazilian time. And there were 4 classes which will show our research about interplanetary assistance.
Okay. Yep. So the Sunday mornings in Brazil could actually be quite friendly for Australian audiences, not so friendly for European audiences, I don't think.
No, it is. In Europe will be lunchtime, or I don't know, will be 1 o'clock, something like that. We will start at 8 o'clock, very early in Brazil. So
people
in Europe in Australia can participate. Will be online and
Okay. Yeah, well, I'll put links to that in the show notes as well. One thing that I think is important to maybe just touch on is just because it's one of the big themes in when people talk about extraterrestrials, usually is abductions. That was the first thing I ever heard about ETs.
Abduction.
let's say when I was a kid, I was into abduction stories. Yes. So Jan's showing me a picture, alien abductions of a man being sucked up to a UFO. So it is a recurring theme, right? It is a story. It's a theme that's been around for, since the 60s. I don't know if there's earlier stories, pre-UFO sci-fi type things. But how do you understand those? Is that something that Extra Cons considers, explores, studies?
Yes, we study it. We have people who share the experience about abductions and also encounters. They said it was physical one. But here we have to say that every case is a case. And the information are very important to have very detailed information. What happened? Is it a nightmare? How can we find out if something is real, or how is the reality have been? We have different phenomena which could explain, for example, abductions, or had some more spectrum of opportunities what happened at least. So it is a field to make a research, and when people talk their cases, we can debate, and we work also with hypotheses. Here it is very important to have a good basement or knowledge of the phenomena. For example, it could be also a retrocognition.
Retrocognition,
which happened in the past lives. For example, when people come here to our planet the first time, it could be like a traumatic, that what Waldo called the transmigration, the extraphysical transmigration. So when we come from one planet and go to another planet, this could be something, these changes, which could be traumatic, and the people felt that there were some extraterrestrials, there were some situations which hurt or had something, and then they come here to our planet, but they did not know that it was a retrocognition. Could also be that there was a true abduction which happened nowadays with a psychosoma, could be. So it is. It's not easy to find out what is the real reality, what happens. So important, everything is to make a good research. So when you had out-of-body experience or experience like that, write down everything. Make a good notes that without interpretation first, what happened there, you can make research with the informations of the different phenomena which could happen. And here the consensuology They had the concepts. Now, for example, in the book of Project Geology, we can read what happened when this and that perception happened to us.
So, but what do you think, what is your personal view on physical abductions? Because you mentioned psychosoma abductions, so having and being taken in a, you know, your out-of-body experience and then maybe interpreting that as a physical experience. But do you think physical abductions may occur, or you don't think that's a...
I think everything is possible. So the phenomenon of dematerialization, we had experience here, intraphysical, people disappears and come on a different location back. This could happen. So I think the intraphysical abductions could happen. But here it is more the question of what effort do an extraterrestrial had to do something like that. It's immense energy needed to make something like that in the interphysical way. It's much easier when we have abductions with a psychosoma. So I think the interphysical idea here, only for the energetically side, it's very difficult to realize.
Well, but that assumes
possible.
That assumes dematerialization, right? You're assuming that they're like dematerializing a person to another dimension, in a sense, I think. But I guess the straightforward ufology believer or person would say there is a physical spaceship that comes and it takes a physical human and it takes them somewhere physical and then it brings them back, right? So they wouldn't probably even go into interdimensional stuff.
Yeah, I think it's possible. So this is my answer. Yeah. But I think the most experience people talk about the encounters with extraterrestrial. And when we ask more questions, we find out the most encounters were out of body experience and were in psychosoma. Even when the people say, "No, I talk like we talk here," the people do not know the difference.
Yes.
Often.
Yeah. And so I have a question. So I've had a few out of body encounters with extraterrestrial consciousnesses, and I've had a few times where I would be out of the body and I would see spaceships.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I've sometimes wondered, and I'm curious what your hypothesis is why would you need spaceships in an extra-physical dimension? What is the significance of that? Is it like a scenic creation for people to travel together in some way? Like, Do you have a thought about that? Or
I personally had two experiences with spaceships. One was in the space. So there were something like a huge thing where many consciousness are coming. The consciousness coming from different planets, this I could see. It was in the space. And I can see that in that, I couldn't explain it. It was not a spaceship. It was more a station, like a station where the people come in, and there were a process of team buildings. And I felt the energies of more involved evaluated people, so evolutionologists, so someone who works with the composition of evolutionary groups also, and Serenissimus also, so the most high-leveled evolution consciousness we had here on the planet. And they built there some teams, and these teams come to the different planets to be reborn. and they used spaceships. And I asked the same question. Why spaceships? They are extra physical. It's so easy. Let's go in a ball or something like that. But it is interesting. When we are out of body, our movement is with our will. So when something happened and we are going out of body and we want to go and we think in one moment, for example, my mother's home, then I go there. And when we had there a situation of a group and they want to go together, then it is good to have a spaceship which has this soscene of being a transfer from one place to another, and the people stay there. And right. Then we have a commander or something like that who is going with that spaceship, and no one is leaving by their own will that spaceship. So this was one explanation I had there when I noticed this station. I call it the station of the transmigrations for different planets. It's a team building process recognized there by hypothesis. And another one was I was on a spaceship and I was coming to a planet. I think also a hypothesis, it was a planet Earth because it was blue. And the group, we were all in psychosoma, so extra physical. And the same thing, the spaceship gave us a security that we stayed together. And when we came to that planet, then happened some other things. Not was easy to come here to down to the Earth, but it's the same idea. Spaceships are good to hold the group together.
Yeah, that makes sense. Actually, that's like a temporary dimension kind of thing where we all group together. Like if we are when we die, yes, and we go to another dimension, we tend to stay. A lot of us tend to stay quite stably, yeah, in a given environment, right? So it's like a something like that, but for transportation, for movement, which raises, yeah, interesting questions, right, about movement extraphysically and what space.
Very means, interesting.
What yeah, space means when you're out of the body and between planets and the relationship between extraphysical dimensions from Earth and other planets and those kind of questions.
Yeah. And also gates, for example. Now, we had many films, and my hypothesis is that the people who are making that films, they had some experience or they remember something, but they could not express it. They could not talk about it. So they make arts or films or something. Yeah? This is not always imagination or
hallucination.
I think it's very interesting when the people who are working with arts, films or paintings or something like that, comics, for example, very interesting when we have Superman and that stuff. I think it's interesting to see what is the stuff they are talking about. And then we can make research on it also.
With the hypothesis that they are inspired, right? They have inspirations from their own out-of-body experiences or from extra-physical consciousnesses or those kinds of things. Yeah.
Yeah. Could be.
Yeah.
So if you had an interest for more information, I think our class could be interesting. Which we will give on the 2nd, 9th, 16th, and 23rd of July. And on our homepage on extracons.com, you can make inscriptions.
Enroll, register. Yeah.
Enroll. Thank you.
Are people going to be able to, because for example, I'll be traveling, I'll actually be in Germany for half of that period or for three of those classes. Will you be able to access them afterwards, after the recording? Like
we will not record them because we had the experience that the classes have lots of energy, and it's good to have this energy one time when we have the class. Then we have the power safety and the information of that classes we can share, but the class itself, it's better not to have at a video, from a video side.
Yeah, okay.
So the participation is better, but we will give this class every year, I think.
Yeah. No, that sounds good. Well, yeah, Jan, is there anything else you would like to kind of finish up on? Any topic that you feel we haven't covered that's really important? There's many other things we could touch on, but
I think there are many. Yeah, there are many other things. And on our homepage, you can see, for example, we had classification. We have specialized research areas of extraterrestriology. It's huge field. Go there, and when the people have an interest for a contact, write to info@extracons.com in English, in German, Spanish, Portuguese.
Yes,
and yes. Yeah, we will come together, and we are open, and I'm very happy for our podcast today, and hope we can continue for some time.
Yes, I'm sure we can have another conversation as well. But I guess I would like to end maybe on what would you say your study of extraterrestrial consciousness, what contributions do you feel that's made to your own personal growth and evolution?
I think it's very important to open our minds, to come out of our comfort zone of our day-to-day life. Life is much more that we can see here on our town, in our city, at work. It's much more. And when we are open and open-minded, and when we were working in an assistance way, we can have contact with any planet or with different beings, which are on the same way working as we did. So this is something what I like to give for all you listeners here. And everything is possible. Just make it.